We're going to talk about downtown Louisville this week, including an interview with the manager of one of downtown's newest attractions. That's all next on Access Louisville. Thanks for joining us. My name is David Mann, and joining me today are Joel Stinnett.
Hello.
Haley Cawthon.
Hi there.
And Shay Van Hoy.
Hey, yeah.
Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Garth Williams, general manager of Derby City Gaming Downtown. Access Louisville is a weekly podcast from Louisville Business First. Each week, we bring you the latest news, along with plenty of sharp opinions on what's going on here in Louisville, Kentucky. This week, let's start off with the interview you had with Garth Williams. Derby City Gaming seems to be a very successful draw. It's starting to attract a lot of things around it. So what did you learn talking to Garth?
Yeah, one of the things I learned was that Garth, you know, has a family history in hospitality, as you'll learn from his mom growing up in Jamaica, working at facilities down there. He also talked about kind of the pride in being leading something that hopefully is going to bring more people downtown. And as we'll talk about, you know, Steak and Bourbon's already announced that they're coming in next door. Seems like his love of entertaining. One thing we talked about that you'll hear is that he likes to stay at home and grill out and have people over on the weekend. So he seems like the consummate sort of host,
yeah.
Which is a big part of his role at Derby City Gaming Downtown. So it was a really good talk. He came over to the studio in person, which we don't always have. So it was nice to talk to him face to face and learn more about him and the new attraction downtown.
Yeah. And with that, we'll go to the interview.
Welcome to the Access Louisville podcast executive interview. And today we're joined by Derby City Gaming Downtown General Manager Garth Williams, who is coming to the show to talk about the brand new facility downtown. Garth, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So Derby City Gaming Downtown opened at the end of 2023. I think it was December 6th.
Yes,
is that right?
Correct.
I was there for the media event. It was awesome. I've been back in one other time. So how are things going so far now that you're open and the public can come in and enjoy the space?
Things are great. Things are going really well. We moved into the building, I want to say a month before we opened. And it was surreal because the planning for this had gone on for so long. My team and I were in temporary quarters for what felt like forever. For when we got into the building, it was not only a relief, but we felt like we could hit the ground running, you know what I mean? And it's been great. We always knew that opening in December, we were going to be opening in the, you know, just softer months for tourism here in downtown Louisville. So that was no surprise, but it gave us time to kind of ease into a brand new operation, brand new building. So
yeah,
we're not mad at it.
Yeah, and now you're getting ready to ramp up, right, to
busy
season.
Yes.
So we'll talk a little bit about Derby 150 coming up. But tell our listeners a little bit about your background. How did you end up in the hospitality industry? And then how did you end up in this current role? I know you had some other roles at Churchill. So mm-hmm. just how did you kind of get into the world of hospitality and then end up where you are today?
Well, if I'm really honest, I was first inspired by my mother. I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. And she worked for the Wyndham Hotel in Kingston, and held various roles, and you know, which meant that my brother and I spent a lot of time with her there at work, often for a weekend when she was MOD. So that's kind of how that bug bit me. You know what I mean? Watching her lead a team, manage small crises that would pop up in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? So that that's how I got inspired. I did my first degree was in hotel management, and my first hotel job, my first big job was with Sandals. Right. I lasted 4 months. I did not take into consideration that I would have to move to a resort town.
Oh yeah.
And live in a sleepy little resort town on an island. I'm a city boy, so I moved back to the city, you know, held various hospitality jobs, flight attendant, all kind of stuff. decided to do a graduate degree here in the U.S., thinking I would break into marketing. That's what I was, the plan was. Ended right back into hospitality, the casino business, the gaming business, and here I am.
Yeah. And so at the venue, which is at the corner of 4th and Market, what else is there aside from the historical racing machines, which if people don't know, they're kind of like slot machines based on racing results. But what else can people find in the venue beyond just the historical racing machines?
Sure. So let me unpack the HRM question a little bit first, just so that I could kind of explain that. So they look and feel and play like every other slot machine you would find anywhere in the country. Our machines are manufactured by the same manufacturers. The themes and the games are the exact same. The only difference is the system goes out to a database of old horse races to grab the results for your spin. It's not a chip in the game. The game is programmed to go out to this database and randomly select an old horse race and translate that to what you see visually on the screen. So most customers don't even care about that. There's ways for you to go in there and kind of handicap the race, if you will. It's not as fun. And when you teach guests how to do it, they quickly lose interest.
They're just like, I want it.
Right. But apart from the game, we have 490 games. We have sports betting. We have simulcasting, both of which live inside of our sports book or our sports bar, which is called First Turn. And First Turn and the majority of our games live on the street levels. As you walk into our building, you'll see all those things. In our lower level, which we, in the basement, that we have more games down there. And then the basement kind of opens out into a sort of an outdoor patio. On one side, you have games on the outside where you can play, we call it a smoking patio. So guests who like to smoke while they play enjoy the 100 games that are in that space. On the opposite side of the building, we call it the 4th Street side, we have Fascinator Bar, which is a wine charcuterie bar. We're also exploring adding small plate items to that menu. Inside Fascinator, you can find our speakeasy called Trophy Bar. Trophy Bar is a bourbon and cigar bar, and they both open out to a patio.
Yeah, the bars are really cool. I love the Lily Chandelier in the wine bar.
Yeah.
That back room is really cool. Great for small business gatherings.
Yeah,
we've had a few
organizations and groups that have approached us about renting space or using our space, and we've cultivated some really cool partnerships using our space.
Cool. So talk about the sports bar and the sports book. Obviously, you guys opened right when, very soon after it was legalized in Kentucky.
Yes.
So we had Kentuckians driving over to Indiana, crossing the bridge and geolocating to bet from River Road.
Yeah.
And so now they can come in and enjoy beer, enjoy food, watch games, and bet there. So how are customers reacting to that?
It's going very well. Actually, the sports betting portion of our business is doing better than we thought it would have, which is a testament to the fact that that population was always here.
Right.
And to your point, they were going across the river. Now they don't have to. So the convenience has certainly helped us attract that business. Funny story, that building we did not have a plan for sports betting in that building. It wasn't until the 11th hour when the law passed, and we quickly kind of rallied with construction and design to figure out how we're going to incorporate that equipment into the space, and it worked out really well. We also have a stage in that bar, and we experimented with live entertainment in that space for a little bit, and we realized very quickly that it kind of impacted the experience for our sports betting guests and even our simulcast guests as well. So we tweaked the plan and moved the entertainment downstairs, and it worked out pretty well yep. for both populations, you know?
Yep. So we want to talk about downtown a little bit. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about downtown on this show, and we write a lot about downtown. You know, it's a huge investment by Churchill Downs mm-hmm. in downtown Louisville at a time when we're kind of at a crossroads, you know, not as many people in the office, but tourism has really bounced back. So how does it feel for you to, you know, lead a facility that is hopefully going to lead, a resurgence in downtown? And also recently we just broke the news that Steak and Bourbon is going to open right across the corner for you. So how do you know things momentum there at that corner? So how do you feel about, you know, being part of that?
I am delighted. That wasn't a part of the plan. That wasn't that wasn't something I thought of when I accepted this job. And now I feel as if I'm a part of a movement. We all do. We all, my team and I, we have a sense of ownership because we do see ourselves as being a part of what will be a revitalized Louisville downtown district. There's not only the Steak and Bourbon restaurant you mentioned, there are quite a number of other things happening on that block. And I can venture to say in a year and a half or so, that block will look entirely different. Yeah. So we're excited to be a part of it.
That's great. So getting back to the facility, what's something unique about Derby City Gaming downtown that visitors might not find at other facilities around the country, other gaming facilities?
Well, hands down, I'm going to say my team. We put together a fantastic team. A team of hardworking individuals who came from this community. And a vast number of them came to us with no gaming experience, but we were only too happy to, you know, get them trained up and give them the tools and the skills that they need to be successful. That's number one. Very proud of that, of my team. Number two, I would have to say our cigar bar. I cannot say I've been to many gaming facilities or casinos that have a cigar bar, certainly not one like ours. That we were very pleased to find out that there is actually a very big cigar enthusiast community here in Louisville, and we've been listening to their feedback and tweaking the product a little bit. They are going to be surprised this weekend to walk in and see something, some of the things that they've been asking us to do, and we're just happy to have found that synergy.
Yeah. And for listeners and other cigar-related news, we recently reported that a new members-only cigar lounge is opening at 5th and Chestnut.
Yes, I've heard.
A little bit, and Thoroughbred Society, yes. Louisville, they have a cigar room. So there's a little bit of a cigar movement in Louisville, as you mentioned. So big, the huge year for Louisville. Not only do we have the PGA Championship, but Derby turns 150 this year, mm-hmm. 150th running of Derby. This will be the first Kentucky Derby that Derby City Gaming is open. Obviously, you know, there'll be 160 or so thousand people at the track, but what do you all have planned for people that might be staying downtown or people, Louisvillians, who don't want to go out and dress up and fight the traffic? Anything special that you all are doing for 150?
Well, the plans for that are still being ironed out. I want to say too much because I don't want to promise something that I can't deliver. You can imagine that's our first time in that space, and we're trying to figure out how we can activate and how much we can activate, certainly during a season where, to your point, there will be over 100,000 people in this city, and our building is a modest 44,000 square feet. So we're trying to figure out what makes sense and what we should do. One thing for sure, we will be using it as an opportunity to celebrate our team members, because 95% of them have not worked for Churchill before or been a part of the enterprise, a part of the legacy during a Derby season. So they're excited to see what we do for them, and we're excited to, you know, plan some team member focused activities.
Great. That's great. So now let's move on to the lightning round, which we often do with guests. Some quick questions about to learn a little bit more about them. So, Garth, where do you take out-of-town guests in Louisville when they come to visit, other than obviously showing off Derby City Gaming downtown? What's some of your favorite spots?
Certainly here downtown. You know, there's a lot to see and do, especially when the weather is nice, right? Lots of restaurants and bars. I often take my guests to Butchertown. For my guests who are less about drinking and more about experiences, I do things like the Fraser Museum. For someone who's not from Louisville, Fraser Museum is like a crash course in Louisville culture, Louisville history. There is so much about Louisville you can learn by walking through that building. And as a person who's only lived here for 3 or 4 years, I'm often like wowed by how many things started here or came from here, you know? So my guests who like that sort of thing, that's where I take them.
Great. Yep. So do you gamble or wager on your own time? And if so, what do you like to bet on or what games do you like to play?
I do every now and then. It'll be a slot machine. I'm not one for card games. I'm often intimidated by community games with other human beings around me competing, and that bothers me a little bit. So I'd rather sit at a slot machine and just play.
So you're working in the right place then. Yeah, no table games right now. So and what do you do to relax and unwind? How do you chill out?
I entertain friends at home. So my home is a place I've made it comfortable. I've made it, you know, so that it's suitable for entertaining. And every other weekend, sometimes every weekend, my friends come over and we grill, you know, drink a little bourbon, not too much, watch whatever's on TV, you know. So it's usually home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what neighborhood, what area, town do you live in?
I live up by Iroquois Park.
Okay, cool.
So
yeah.
One of those older homes in Iroquois Park. I live on a hill with a very steep driveway, so I often find myself hoping that there's no snow.
Yeah, you got a good winter this year. Not much.
So, very thankful for that. Very grateful.
Yeah. Final question. So I've noticed this little aside. So we do a lot of events at Business First, and while I don't run the events, we're all part of the events. And so now when I go to events like in town that other people put on, I'm like noticing things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we would have done this differently, or why'd they do this way? So on your, like when you're out at other hospitality venues, it doesn't have to be a gaming facility. Mm-hmm. What's something you noticed right away, either good or bad, like if you walk into a hotel, a restaurant, a casino?
Excellent question. Staffing. I always look at staffing. I always form an opinion quickly if I think they're overstaffed or understaffed, and I build a income statement in my head.
There you go. Looking at the bottom line, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Garth, thanks so much for coming on. We, like I said, if you haven't checked out Derby City Gaming downtown, do so. It's a really cool facility. It's a great addition to downtown. We wish you the best of luck moving forward, and we look forward to the first Derby you all celebrating there. So thanks for coming on, Garth.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks, Shay and Garth for the talk there. I thought that was I thought it was pretty fun. And like you said, Garth was in studio, so I actually did listen to that one before we got before we recorded this setup. So yeah, that's how the behind the scenes magic works. But anyway, let's see here. Speaking of downtown, Joel, you've been writing about converting office space to residential, but Louisville's not doing a whole lot of that. I guess one of our neighbors is, right?
Yeah, Louisville hasn't got involved in that too much yet, but about 100 miles up the river in Cincinnati, they're doing gangbusters with office conversions. They've got about 1,500 office to apartment units in its conversion pipeline. It's got the second highest percentage of office inventory planned for conversions, about 7% in the nation. And they've actually got 12 downtown projects right now that are being converted, about 2.4 million square feet of apartment space.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've really kind of taken this, I guess, post-pandemic kind of trend of turning unused office space, since everybody's working from home, into a more residential kind of neighborhood.
Yeah. And Cincinnati, you know, it's not, you know, California or some faraway place. It's right up the river.
Yeah, so. No, I mean, very similar, obviously, to Louisville culturally, and this downtown is very similar.
Yeah, I think in the one report you saw, they were number two in the country on that.
Yeah, so. Number two for the second highest percentage of office inventory planned for conversion among 40 markets that CBRE tracks.
Yeah.
And Cleveland was one, right?
And Cleveland was one,
yeah.
Yeah,
maybe Ohio has some good incentives.
That's coming down to Cleveland.
Okay, just for anyone who knows that song,
I remember.
We'll have
that.
To link to that in the web story. I wonder too if it's that Cleveland had a lot of, like, you know, Rust Belt vacant spaces,
yeah,
like just primed for that.
I wasn't able to do all the research on Ohio incentives, but talking to local developers, that's what they kind of told me, was that the incentive structure in Ohio is a little bit more favorable at this point than in Kentucky.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's something that surprised you reporting this story?
I think I was kind of going into it expecting not to see a lot of interest from developers in converting some of these offices to the residential. I mean, because everything I've heard was it's very difficult to do. It has to be the right type of building. You have to have the right type of incentives. You have to get the building at a cheap price. Just a lot of things have to go right. But, in talking to people, I learned of a lot of potential projects in the pipeline. Most of what I was told was off the record, so I couldn't actually, or were the rumors, so I couldn't actually report a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of interest from developers. They're just kind of waiting for that financial incentive to make the numbers work. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see, maybe not an explosion like Cincinnati, but I think we're going to see a lot of office to residential conversions in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll switch gears here. We'll talk about Papa John's International. Their CEO announced today that he is he's leaving the company. He's going to go to Shake Shack. CEO Rob Lynch taking leave from Papa John's to go to Shake Shack, which I accidentally called Shack.
You couldn't hear this on the radio, but I was laughing, and Haley was looking at me like, why are you laughing? And it's because of this.
And I was like, if only there was a place that sold steak and shakes. But but anyway, yeah, Rob Lynch taking this job at Steak Shack.
Shake Shack.
Oh, God. I'm having a day, I guess. Anyway, Rob Lynch taking this job at Shake Shack, and he comes to Louisville, has the company move to Atlanta pretty much. I mean, he dual headquarters the company in Louisville and Atlanta, which is where he lives, and then now leaves the company. So I don't know. Is it bad that Rob Lynch has made this change and is now moving on to a new job? Or was this just inevitable because Papa John's needed a bigger city?
Yeah, I mean, it sure looks like, it looks like this was planned out, and Rob was hired. He was in Atlanta. He'd worked for Arby's. Pretty soon after he's hired, the brass moves to Atlanta. They kept some folks here. They put their headquarters up for sale. They sold some of the land. They pulled the actual building back off for sale. They're staying now, which is great for Louisville. But, 5 years later, he's off to a new job, and, his ties to Atlanta helped bring the company there. He's no longer there, and Papa John's is. So, I mean, I don't think, obviously, I wouldn't foresee something reversing. They have a headquarters building.
Right. They've been an impressive headquarters there.
Yeah, up right
building
next to,
down there. So.
Yeah, right next to Truist Field. So, I don't know. Yeah. It certainly looks like what we all think happened.
Yeah.
And really, despite Rob's ties to Atlanta, the move to Atlanta was spurred by they need a true international airport to develop more franchise agreements internationally. Like Papa John's unit count is far below Domino's or Pizza Hut or its other competitors, and basically creating net new units is really going to be how Papa John's grows. And they acted like they needed access to a larger airport with more nonstop flights to make that happen. So whatever argument you have about Rob Lynch, they were also considering their development team.
Yeah, and that has been, a big part of it. But I thought it was also interesting, they've lost a few people recently. The COO, Amanda Clark, also departed in January, or announced she was departing in January. I think she actually left in March. I'm not sure if she's still there or if she's getting ready to leave. And then Shaquille O'Neal, of course, we talked about leaving the board of directors because he's got other obligations.
Maybe he's got a new deal with Shake Shack.
Maybe. Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Shake the Shack. Shakeroni.
Shack. Shack. Shake, but she'll Shack with a Q.
Shack.
Shake
Shack,
but with
Shack.
Shack.
Oh, yeah.
Shake Shack. I was trying to replace.
If this happens, I'm going to be really mad.
Oh, it all started here.
Yeah. We called it.
Well, what?
The Shack Shake. They could also then flip it.
But Shack was, when you think of the chicken and the egg, Shack came.
The marketing rights itself.
Shack came before Rob Lynch.
Yeah.
So it's not like true, they were just true, bros true. That yeah. showed up together, but it was not too far apart.
It's not a package deal. You're not yeah. getting Shaq with Rob Lynch, or are you? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Package Shaq.
Oh, Lord. All right.
That sounds like a container store. Like, I'm going to go over to the package
Shack.
Pick yeah. up a couple boxes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think there's one more departure I got to tell you about here. And unfortunately, yeah, this one hurts. But Haley Cawthon, this is your last show with this, you know. And it hurts. You know, we've seen people come and go from the show. But it hurts because you've been around since the beginning. Like, you were around when we first launched the podcast. I think in 2019 is right after you started. And you've been around. So we're very sad to see you go. But I think you've definitely made the show better over the years. So
thank you. I'm sad to be leaving. but have lots of fond memories of Business First and the podcast. I mean, in my Facebook memories comes up these videos that you and I would do where you're like interviewing me about stories.
Yeah.
And I still remember, instead of saying a horse syndicate, I called it a horse startup. And you're like, I think those are just called baby horses. And we laughed until we cried about that.
Yeah. I think I remember that. That was funny.
But yeah, just a lot of fun over the years. Been at Business First for almost 5 years now, but yeah. Had another opportunity. So, but I'm going to miss all you guys, and yeah. we'll probably turn into a listener of the show myself.
I hope you do. And
I'll write comments and spread make you guys the word. Read them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, we might, you know, pay you freelance to just monitor Facebook comments for us. Yeah.
Surely they won't be that bad moving forward.
No, probably not. Probably not. All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for this week. Before we sign off, let's go around the room here. You guys can let folks know where they can find you on social media. Joel, I'll start with you.
You find me on LinkedIn under my name, Joel Stinnett, and on X at JStinnettBiz.
Haley, how about you?
People can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Haley Cawthon.
And Shay?
I'm on X, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, wherever you may roam. I'm just my name, Shay Van Hoy.
All right. And you can find me on LinkedIn under my real name, David A. Mann. If you like this podcast, you can find it on all the popular services such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Radio Public. Oh, yeah, we're going to sound different next week, by the way. We got our live episode coming up. Our guests are Jerry Abramson and Christy Lee Brown. But I'm told the room is sold out. So,
it's sold out.
Yeah. I can't tell you to go buy tickets because I think there's no more. So, but you still will be able to listen to that show, and it should be a good fun show. I think that's it. So thank you very much, Joel, Haley, and Shay. And thank you guys for listening to us at home. Thank you, Garth Williams, and we'll see you next time. Bye.